bit of a shock to the system. Moorish Mag here on 92.1 RTR FM. Jim and
Nick, how are you, Jim?
Oh, not too bad.
How are your listeners? All good?
Yeah, we're a little bit on the emotional side today, playing a track there. Most of you listeners might know that. I'm sure you do. A lot of people in Australia are a little bit unsure about the national anthem, but in this case, translated to Wangatha. And why have we translated to Wangatha?
That was a question I was going to ask you, Jim. Why?
Well,
it has to be something significant to do.
It is now. The lady singing in Wangatha, a dialect from the goldfields of Western Australia, has sadly passed. I think we can say her name, Nick, being Noongar and being a Wangatha person, Josie Boyle, one of our regulars. She appeared on the show in person and talked to us about her, well, I won't call them escapades, but done a lot of work with Stolen Generation people. Stolen Generation person herself was brought up on Mount Margaret Mission, north of Kalgoorlie in the goldfields, where a lot of Wangatha, Wangai people were taken in the dreadful era of removing children from their families, country and culture. We talk about that a lot on the show.
Yes, we do, Jim.
And Josie, as I say, released a Golden Christmas to You album with five songs on it a couple of Sundays ago, and she's been ill for a while, Nick, and well, she lived long enough to have a little event
to see
out at Forestfield.
Yes.
And came in a hospital bed.
Yes, I was very surprised to see her in that condition. I knew that she wasn't well, but it was a bit of a shock to me to see how she was wheeled in, but she still had that smile on her face and that look in her eye and that glint in her eye and that still little sharp little character that and personality that she was.
Well, yes, and sadly I couldn't go. I've been just getting through the dreads of awful cold, asthmatic, respiratory thing, which happens to old people. And sadly couldn't go. But, Nick, you were there. You did a special little treat, a special little ceremony.
Yes, I'd done the welcome to country to that event, and to see Josie sitting there in front of me and smiling and looking like $1 million.
As she does.
It was quite, I guess, I can't put it to words, Jim, but seeing her and thinking that here she is, she's coming out of her bed to see this launch and great for the Monitor Choir group to, and Della Ray and that stuff to put it together in such a short notice. But it was really a fitting tribute to her.
It was, because she's been talking about this album now for quite a few months, and of course she took ill a couple of months back. Her daughter Wendy was down taking care of Mum for the last little while there, and Mum said she wanted to pass away at home, but in the end she was in palliative care. And we've got some albums to give away today.
Oh, have we?
Oh,
lovely.
Yeah, we're fortunate enough to get a number of albums to our listeners here on RTR FM and Moorish Mag, to our dedicated listeners for the end of the year for a Christmas show. Well, to the end of year and these Christmas carols. There's two of note on the album, but there's actually five songs. So it's a small album, Silent Night, Mama Wallaby, we might even play that, Christmas Nullarbor Heartbeat, Joy to the World, and Golden Christmas Sail. Have a listen to Silent Night. We'll come back and talk to you more. But this is a dedication today on a wonderful woman, a wonderful lady, Wangai, Josie Boyle. And we've got a special guest on the line today, Bronwyn Goss, who's had a lot to do with Josie over the years. So, as I say, a dedication to Josie Boyle on Moorish Mag, RTR FM. Good morning, Bronwyn.
Oh, good morning, Jim.
Bronwyn, thanks for joining the show. I've got Nick with me. He's a Wajak elder. Two old people running a radio show and two old people that won a national award last year. So we're kind of impressed about that. So you're on an award-winning show, Bronwyn. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've got to get that in. Bronwyn, our show, Moorish Mag, is one that we try to impress our listeners, and apparently we get 100,000 listeners a week. I don't know how true that is, but so a lot of people are listening to you today, and I hope you didn't get too emotional about Josie Boyle's version of Silent Night. Welcome again.
Yes. Oh, thanks very much, Jim. Yes, I guess if you wanted to make me cry, that was the way to do it.
Well, get out of the way now.
No worries.
Get out
of the way. Bronwyn, as part of our introduction to the hour of 100,000 listeners out there in the community, Bronwyn Goss. Who's Bronwyn Goss? Who's your mob and where you're from?
Well, I'm a Midgety, and I met Josie. Well, I'm from Perth, and I met Josie back in 2008. She belonged to a group called the Indian Ocean Arts Network that a friend of mine, Louise Haddon Smith, belonged to. And they were the group that was initially responsible for what became the Perth International Arts Festival. But I had been doing some study myself. We'd spent some years in Canberra, and I knew that as an Australian, I needed to understand Aboriginal culture and connection to places. Sorry. Sorry, Jim.
You're hanging there, girl. You're right. It's all right. It's all right. We're crying here too, so
you're not alone.
You're with a good group.
Okay. So I did actually then begin hearing and reading the stories of the Yolngu people. And when we returned to WA, I knew that I needed to make a proper connection to Aboriginal people. And it was at this gathering where I met Josie. And when she said that she was a storyteller, then I just knew that I needed to meet her and get to know her. And so that was really the beginning of our relationship, which endured and in which we did many, many wonderful things. She brought to me so many insights, as she has to so many people. I think one of the really significant things were, well, there were two, but one of them was when I began to research the Greek Seven Sisters story of the Pleiades, and Josie, of course, had her mother's Seven Sisters story from the desert. And the two of us then began to talk about these two stories, and it was plain to see the overlaps, the crossovers, the imagery of these stories that that both spoke about the great energy of life, the fruitfulness of the earth, the power of desire and love, and these things Josie responded to very strongly, because, as you would know, and everyone who ever met Josie would know, all her work was about bringing us together. It was always pulling people together. She always made people feel comfortable. She was, in all her boldness and optimism, she was really a very humble woman, and always loved to hear somebody else's story. So I think that the fact that she heard those two stories and then realised that those stories, the stories of the Seven Sisters, our common stars in the planet, in the sky, were stars that we all looked upon and we all had stories about. So this was a unifying fact that Josie could see that around the earth, and that gelled with her philosophy, I suppose, of what life was about.
Mm. Very, very touching there, Bronwyn. I mean, the Greek stories as are associated with Aboriginal spirituality. But, you know, some of the things you're saying, I mean, we introduced the program today without any words, went straight into an Advanced Australia Fair, which gives an indication, I think, of this reconciliation spirit of Josie and how she wanted to include and be inclusive of all cultures, because, yes, you know, we had to really question ourselves, do we really want to play this song, Advance Australia Fair, given the connotations it has around fairness and all of the issues a lot of our people are really coming to terms with. And I mean, there's even a version that we have here of, or what is it, the Waltzing Matilda, which probably might have been another song we could play. We might even play it by the end of the show today. But again, thanks for being on the show. Tell us a bit about yourself before I tried to get a bit of a better appreciation of what you're involved in, but you're an artist. And
yes.
So, and in fact, we might just talk a little about yourself and the work you currently do. We might go to a song and then talk some more about Josie herself. So, your artistic work, what does that involve?
I began in jewellery, actually, but my jewellery was always work that I was inspired by the earth. That really gave me a very strong connection to place. I lived up in Gooseberry Hill and right on the edge of the bush, and spent many hours walking and looking and thinking, and it was from that environment I felt very, very strongly connected to, and I suppose that made me also want to know about an Aboriginal connection. So the work came out of that, and as anyone who, you know, has any connection to country knows, you're very soon drawn into an understanding of the great cycle of life. It's not just life and death, it's that big eternal cycle. That connects back into Josie's story too, with their big seven sisters figure eight dance. Her mother called it a figure eight dance, but of course when you flip a figure eight on its side, it's a symbol for eternity. And that movement, that spiral movement, was a dance that is still done by cultures all around the world. So, my work began in jewellery and moved into installations, and I often used bone and stone and just the natural pigments from the earth around where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
I taught also for 13 or 14 years at Curtin University in the jewellery and 3D design department in the School of Art. And then when we moved to Canberra, because my husband had a job with the Murray-Darling Basin Commission, one of those big jobs, I went into looking at Aboriginal culture. And then because of the story element, it led me into a master's in analytical psychology, which is based on Jung's understanding of how we think, really. Mm. And of course, Jung looks at all big stories, particularly the Greek stories. And that's where I realised that we, in fact, carry the stories within us. And I know also that Aboriginal people understand that the earth is what holds the stories. And, of course, it's our connection to the earth. So it's earth and us that hold the stories.
Yeah.
When Jung's understanding of these stories is that the images that are in the stories are produced by our experience, our cultural experience. So that's a very deep and long ancestral experience, as you would, of course, mm-hmm. know.
Mm-hmm.
That these stories emerge out of that and out of the way we have adapted to all of the massive experiences that we've had through our cultural lives.
Mm.
And so that's why the stories have such deep meaning and such deep wisdom.
Wow.
Bronwyn,
we're talking to Bronwyn Goss, an artist and a long-term friend of our dearly parted Josie Boyle, who we're dedicating our program today here on Mootitj Mag RTR FM. So, Bronwyn, your experience and activity with our dedicated guest today on RTR FM. Tell us more about your work or the activities you conducted in the goldfields with Josie.
Well, one of the lovely things we did was a documentary on Josie's life. It was with FGI, part of their Community Stories program, and Paul Roberts was the director in the film, and we just did this wonderful journey back to Josie's home country, visiting her dear old mission friends, talking and singing, doing the old mission songs with them. And there was one particular lovely occasion when we were up at Moripoi, just close, right close by Niagara, which is a beautiful Seven Sisters site, a lovely lake, which was a spring and had been dammed for mining, but it's still very beautiful. There's not mining there now. And we had to get up at dawn to do a shoot at that site, and the sun would rise, was going to rise just above the other side of the lake. And Josie and I, well, first of all, I'll say that Josie's mother's story tells of the women singing the sun up. The women get up every morning and sing, and as they sing, the sun rises. And so this is what Josie was going to do on that day. So we drove out to the site, you know, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I painted her face with ochre, and I'd made a beautiful wreath for her in yellow and white everlastings, because they were the flowers that the Seven Sisters wore. And she wore it on her head, and she had leaves in her hand. And the sun, we were just waiting for the sound man to get all his levels right and everything. And you could just hear the birds starting to tweet, and then the sun came up, and it threw shadows across the land. Josie was just stunned and amazed and so thrilled to see that the way, that movement, the way the land came to life as the shadows threw across the land and form came into being. So,
Ah, look, that sounds marvellous. You've been on a wonderful journey with our dearly beloved and Josie Boyle.
Indeed.
Now, let's tell our listeners a bit more about Josie. We've talked to our listeners about Josie before, and she's been on the show, but in your words, tell us what you know about Josie's background. We do a lot of stories on Stolen Generation peoples, and Nick and I have been involved in this area for quite a few years now. So give us a bit of history of Josie before we say goodbye to you, because we're going to finish off our discussion here with her version of Waltzing Matilda. So, yeah, give us a bit of background on Josie for our listeners, please, as to why we're dedicating Mootitj Mag to her.
Josie was born up near Mount Margaret Mission, and she had a white father and a Wangai mother. And when she was two, her mother and her tribal father, Bingi, had to go droving. And so they left Josie in the care of her mother's sister. And during that time, there was a drought and food was really scarce, and Josie became very ill. So her auntie took her in to the nearby hospital. The mission had been established at that time, and children at that time were also being taken into the missions. But Josie tells the story that Mr. Jackson, Pop Jackson, and his wife at the mission didn't have any children. And Mr. Jackson came in one day to the hospital, and he saw this beautiful little girl in her cot, smiling and chatting away to him, and he fell in love with her. And he took her home to his wife for them to bring up together as their child. And that is, in fact, what happened with Josie. She was brought up in their home at the mission. And her brother and, you know, other children from her tribe were taken into the mission and slept in the dormitories. But Josie used to sneak food out of the pantry at her house, where she ate off willow china, And she used to sneak the food out to her friends and her brother, because all they had was fairly stale porridge with weevils in it, as Laurel says. And they were grateful to her for that. But Josie's mum also, and all the mothers, used to bring bush food to their children through the fence at the Mount Margaret Mission. And many of those kids were lucky because they still had connection with their biological parents, and the boys were often allowed to go home to the camp on the weekends, but the girls had to stay in the mission. I think the missionaries were a little bit worried about the girls being out there with their promised husbands there as well, so they kept the girls in the mission. And then at the age of 16, they were educated really well. If you ever talk to and see the beautiful writing of the Mount Margaret Mission kids, and their singing and their knowledge, the missionaries did a reasonable job there, I think, and let them keep their language also. So that's why you hear Josie singing in Mongatha today.
Yeah. Look, we're talking to Bronwyn Goss. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. It's really been another side of Josie that we're seeing, and you're painting an amazing picture of a wonderful lady who appeared to have a good upbringing, even though it was on the mission. And so thank you for being on the show and talking to our Moodish Mag listeners here on RTRFM.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tim. My privilege.
Thank you, Bronwyn.
Thank you, Bronwyn.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Bronwyn Goss, an artist, and who volunteered to come on the show today to talk about this lovely lady. And, in fact, she's writing the eulogy.
Is she?
And going up to funeral Monday. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to get on a plane myself, Nick, to be up there as well. But so we're hearing another side of the mob that were taken, and she was able to keep her language.
Yes, yes, and we'll hear all them different little stories, but, you know, I can just reflect on when she was in the studio here with us, isn't that, you know, despite all that hardship or positive stuff in her life, but she was a very boisterous and entertaining lady, and always had a... I guess a spring in her voice, so to speak. It's very good to, you know, to see her, and when she sat down here and tell her stories and sing the songs and tell us stories, it was beautiful.
Look, we've said so much on removal of children. We our listeners should be aware that almost half the population has been affected by removal. That is, half the Aboriginal population in Western Australia have been affected by removal. Either they were victims themselves and or descendants. And it's the awful statistics that go with that, Nick, is 1 in 7 have a disability. 33, you know, 1/3 of those people don't access services adequately.
Yes.
So the level of disadvantage amongst, that's still testimony to A.O. Neville and the work he did about removal of children, which... you know, we've talked about as far as Bronwyn Goss and her experience with the lovely lady Josie Boyle and her removal. I think our listeners need to be aware that the intergenerational impacts of this removal is still with us. We're going to go to another song of Josie and sort of complete this little testimony, memory that we have, because we both have fond memories of this lovely lady. My fondest memories of Josie was, because as our listeners know, we do a little bit of karaoke or nungaroke, and Josie has done a version of Creedence Clearwater Revival,
yes.
Bad Moon Rising in language. So unusual Christmas carols, because they're done in an Aboriginal language, Nick.
A language that's almost forgotten. According to the system that we live in, but it's still there and it's still alive and it's still functioning.
Right.
Proudly.
Well, maybe you should sing a Christmas carol in Noongar.
I won.
I bet you there
we'll leave that to our lovely singer, Gina.
Delaray and others
and
who
others
are singing
they,
language.
They can sing.
And of course, you know, this when we came back after COVID, we had Kobe.
That's
come
right.
in the studio and he brought his guitar in and sang a couple of songs in Noongar. What were they?
One of them was Country Road.
And the other was?
I can't think
Three
of the
Little
other Three Little Birds.
Three Little Birds, a Bob Marley one.
Bob Marley, yep.
Yeah, so we've had a dedication today on Well, a lady that's recently passed, and a big ceremony in Kalgoorlie on Monday. Sadly, there's been many, many deaths over the last couple of weeks, and we dedicate our program today and big call out, chill out, call out, big condolences to all those families that have been impacted on the loved ones being taken from us in the last little while. This is 92.1 RTR FM. And we're reminiscing now of a lovely lady around Josie Boyle, and giving away her album today. She released an album and stayed with us long enough to have the album released. Yes. Sadly passed away the next day. So if you're interested in hearing some Christmas carols in Wongatha, give us a call here on...
What's that number, Jim? 9260? 9210? Were you going to say that?
Well, no, you did.
Oh, good. But anyway,
and if you listen on Noongar Radio, 9228-0606. Noongar Radio listeners, 9228-0606. Don't get confused, though. Today you're ringing 9260-9210 if you'd like a complimentary courtesy of RTR of Josie's A Golden Christmas to You. And she does a couple of numbers there, Joy to the World and Silent Night, but she does a couple of compilations or... a couple of guests joining her on a couple of other tracks. We may even get one done before the show's over. Mama Wallaby and Christmas Nullarbor Heartbeat. So, yeah, if you're interested in winning a complimentary CD,
so
it's cool here.
Yeah. This is our last program for the year?
It is.
Where did the year go?
Yes, it certainly went, not without challenges, Nick.
There were plenty of challenges this year, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, you could talk underwater about the challenges you've had with the Noongar Lad deal, but we won't necessarily go into that today for fear that there might be some reprisals.
There will be time for that.
There'll be time for that.
Our community needs to know the real stories.
We do. We need to hear what the challenges are, where we stand with that end of January. We'll probably hear some more stories.
Yeah, but only a couple of weeks ago, we did celebrate the final legal challenges and stuff there, but there's more to come on that, and it'll come at the appropriate time.
Yeah, we're taking a break until the week of the 11th of
January. Is that right? We're back then. Lovely. Okay, it's good to know, Jim. Thanks for keeping me on in the loop. But
it's the 14th we'll be back.
Okay, well, there you go. We'll just shift it up again. Never mind, we'll be there.
The 14th of January, Moody's back on air here on RTR FM. Let's say goodbye.
Well, I guess we've got to say goodbye, but for me, I think it's a year of putting 2020 behind us. And hopefully 2021 is a better year for all of us.
Oh, look, I'm looking forward to next year. Mm-hmm. I guess we say that this time every year. It's been a real difficult year, challenge.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you for listening to Moorich Mag here on 92.1 RTR FM.
And we look forward to seeing you next year. Bye-bye.